Now, tell us a little bit about the story behind Project Futures. You guys established in 2009?
Correct.
What is it that you do?
So basically what we do is we raise funds and we advocate to support and hopefully help bring an end to human trafficking here in Australia and in Cambodia. So instead of being a direct service provider, we raise money and then we support two impact partners, one in Cambodia and one in Australia, to help them do their work and allow them to flourish and focus on what they do best.
Amazing. What Yep. inspired the creation of Project Futures?
So our founder, Steph Lorenzo, in 2008, she was 22, a uni student. She went across to Cambodia with a friend and they just were doing a holiday and they went for a cycle. And while she was there, she picked up the book of Somali Mam. Somali Mam is today a human rights activist, but at that time she had just got out of the situation where she had been trafficked at the age of 12 by her grandfather. And she was living in the brothels, sold over and over for about a decade before she escaped.
Gosh.
And she went on to start what is now one of our impact partners, AFACIT, the safe house in Cambodia. And I think our founder, Steph, she was just so inspired and she thought, if this woman can do something with no money, no education, no support and the stigma that surrounds her, I can surely do something too. Because in Australia, we don't realise how privileged we are, right? We don't realise how many networks we have and our education and our ability to network and to pool resources. So when Steph came back, she couldn't get this lady out of her mind. And she, over a year, gathered 20 of her friends. Each of them raised a small amount of money. And they went back to Cambodia and they cycled 400 kilometres across the country. And on International Women's Day in 2009, they presented a cheque for $80,000 and gave it to Somali Mam and her team.
Wow, that's amazing.
Mind-blowing, right?
Right, yeah, amazing. So what are the ways in which, I guess, these incredible survivors are impacted by human trafficking and modern-day slavery? What are some of the biggest long-term impacts that we're seeing?
The longest term impacts, I suppose, is their psychological stability, is their ability to trust, is their ability to reintegrate into the community. So in Cambodia, any sort of sexual intercourse or contact before marriage is shunned. Mm. But you've got to remember these girls are servicing up to 30 men a day. So they are not welcome back in their communities. They are not welcome back in their families, even though they're in these situations because they're usually sold by a family member. The damage that has been done is horrific. So when you're talking to little girls and their biggest dream is to one day marry and be accepted and have a baby, these are things that we just take for granted, that we assume we'll have the opportunity to do.
And that we have the choice to do if we want.
Exactly. But over there, they really don't. They are isolated. They can't reintegrate. So that's a big part of our program. Supporting them to be successful, to be financially independent and hopefully in some aspect reintegrate and contribute to their community.
Wow. And so is that mainly the activity happening on the ground in Cambodia or does that happen here in Australia as well?
It happens here in Australia as well. So we find two different types of victims here in Australia, people that have been trafficked into the country. So usually these people have come of their own free will in the first instance. They think they're coming for work. They want to work. They want to contribute. But when they get here, the situation is not as promised. They're not paid. They're abused. Their passport's taken and they're forced into situations against their will. Those people are far from their home and people don't necessarily know what's happened, but often they don't want to return home because they carry the shame of that. So we see a lot of people trafficked here for organ harvesting, for sex trafficking, for forced labour. So they're going into fishing industries, farming, a whole range of aspects. You know, the cherries that we eat, who picked them? Were they paid? Were they able to live in conditions that were appropriate?
This is, I guess, something that a lot of Australians don't see as a practice that's happening on their own back door. This is something that happens in other parts, in back alleys and, you know, dark places in the world. But it is something that does happen here in Australia.
Yeah, so true. So last year was estimated that 15,000 people were trafficked into Australia. And they're just the ones we know of. You know, this is an underground industry. You're talking about 40 million people globally. They're huge numbers and they're growing rapidly. It's actually the number one growing industry in the world.
Oh, my God.
So it's something we need to be talking about more.
Mm.
But I think you're absolutely right. Australians really don't know what's happening here. We're quite unaware of the situation. Often when I tell people what I do, they say, oh, I've seen the movie Taken. I know exactly what you're talking about. And you're like, okay, all right, let's just backtrack and have a bit of a chat about that.
Liam Neeson doesn't chase everyone. Yeah. Wow.
But we're seeing people being stripped of their human rights on a daily basis.
Mm.
And we don't actually know what that looks like in Australia.
Mm.
We spend a lot of time talking to people, businesses, schools, particularly boys' schools, about trafficking. And the reason for that is we travel now, we're so global. But here in Australia, the exchange of funds for a service is an indicator of consent. Here in Australia, generally, if we're paying for something, we assume they're happy to sell that service. When you go into a country like Cambodia, most of those people are not happy to be doing that.
Gosh.
So most of those women are victims of sex trafficking. But Australian men or boys going over, they don't recognise that because the girl is smiling, she presents okay, she seems happy to provide that service. But ultimately, you're raping her because it's against her will. It's just dressed up pretty.
Gosh. So how do you go about, I guess, then raising this awareness, raising this money here in Australia? I know you've got a fantastic coffee table book that's out just in time for Christmas.
We do.
Tell us a little bit about that.
So it's called Threads of Hope. Just FYI to anyone thinking about writing a book, it is very hard. I had it on my bucket list. I thought this will be something that I'll do for sure.
Yeah.
You know, just a lovely thing to do.
I'll just jot some pages down.
Yeah, on a Sunday afternoon. Just
in
you know.
One weekend, I'll get it done.
Exactly. So, but it was horrendous for a few reasons. Just I didn't actually realise the commitment and time and dedication. That sounds so weird, I know, but that it takes to really write a quality book.
Mm.
Particularly because this is a coffee table book, so a majority of it is photos. Mm. It's only 25% content, which doesn't sound like much, but when it's 150 pages, it's a bit like, whoa, it's a lot. But also too, because we interview a lot of the girls and we share their story. Mm. And in the first instance, it's so brave for them to tell us their story, right? So you want to do it justice. And the first time I wrote it, I actually wrote things verbatim. And, you know, then we sent it off to the editor and they came back and they said, you can't print this because it's broken English. It's taking away from the story. The reader is sort of lost in what trying to translate what you're saying. So going back and trying to write that was so difficult because I just agonized over every word because I wanted to be their words. I wanted to do it justice because some of the girls that told their story have never told their story.
Wow.
And they're in their early 20s. They've never told anyone. They've been trafficked. They've been through the program that we fund and they've come out the other end and never told anyone in depthly what happened. So I did 6 hours of interviewing in Cambodia with them and pretty much I just cried that whole time with them.
I can imagine.
And I just kept saying to them, many of them, if you want to stop, you can stop. It doesn't matter. Stop anytime. But pretty much every one of them said to me, I want to tell my story because it means he doesn't own me anymore.
Wow.
That their voice, their experience is the only thing that no one can take away from them. So writing the book was so hard because you just wanted to do it justice to these incredible girls. And I mean, inspiring, resilient, amazing women.
Mm.
I just can't imagine how they've come back from what they've endured.
No.
But in saying that, the book is hopeful. The book showcases where they've been and where they are now. It showcases where the money's going that Australians are raising. It showcases just that incredible innate human ability to still be hopeful, which is why we called the book Threads of Hope. And actually one day I went into the brothels. So these are women that are still owned. Their children are about to be sold. And I thought this is the darkest, dampest, coldest, just most awful place on the planet. That is actually what I thought. I just felt so crushed that the human spirit could have to try and survive in this space and endure these experiences. And, you know, we were handing out condoms and soap and toothpaste and basic things that are luxuries to these women.
Mm.
And this woman turned around to me and she said, I'm so happy you're here. I feel so hopeful that you're here.
Oh, wow.
And it was honestly like this human connection that I'd never felt before with anyone. Just being so connected and in the moment with this woman and seeing this spark of hope in this disgusting space. I'm talking about rubbish to my knees, just absolute filth, chains on the doors, no light. You know, we're using our phones to sort of navigate through these awful spaces. And she was just this beacon of hope. And I just thought, how is this possible?
How does this survive here?
Yes, but she saw hope in us coming. She saw hope for her children, for herself, for the future, for change. And that is why we called it Threads of Hope, because no matter where people are, they still seem to have this little spark of hope that things could change.
Mm.
And like, she doesn't know me.
No.
She doesn't know how it will change or when it will change or if it will change. but she still hopes.
God, that's amazing.
It was mind-blowing.
That would just be such a humbling experience as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
A real moment in life. So where can we get the book? Where can we get our hands on a copy?
Yes. So this book is not only a beautiful gift, like actually beautiful. The photos are incredible. They're taken by a photographer here based in Tarmor. It's $65 and 50% of that goes back into programs. So it is beautiful. A gift that will have impact well beyond the 25th of December. You can jump onto our website and order it. We have free delivery at the moment.
Fantastic.
And our website is projectfutures.com and you'll find it under the shop.
Fantastic, Claire. Unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there, but thank you so, so much for joining us this morning.
Wonderful. Thanks for having me.